Got a special guest in the studios today here at WKY. It's JJ Gray. Hey, JJ.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Welcome back to Lexington.
Oh, thanks. It's good to be here.
We're going to talk about your latest record, your label, and some other more interesting things like fishing and cooking in just a few minutes. But let's go ahead and get a live song from you. What are you going to play, JJ?
Cool. This is How You Climb.
Operator, since the day you was born, flash a little money from some rock you sold. Well, they say the higher you climb, further you fall. Then you leave your youngins with nothing at all. Mm-hmm, yeah. Spend the grocery money trying to make you a name. Why your kids can't read or write, I guess you ain't gonna change. And now you say they got you pimping for the DEA, rolling on your boys 'cause you say you getting paid. Ooh, but the higher you climb, the further you fall. The higher you climb, the further you fall. The higher you climb, the further you fall. The higher you climb, boy, the further you fall. The further you fall, the higher you climb, the further you fall. The higher you climb, further you fall. Higher you climb, further you fall. Higher you climb, further you fall. Higher you climb, boy, the further you fall, yeah.
JJ, sounding good, man.
Oh, thanks, man. Fun.
It's coming. The experience is finally coming up. Sounding better and better all the time. You know, this new record, Orange Blossoms, mm-hmm. pretty much tells the tale. You're from Florida.
Definitely.
And you have a very loving picture in the liner notes of a swamp.
Yeah, that's actually, Daryl took that picture. Daryl Hance, guitar player, he took that picture for George Island, like in a salt marsh swamp that right near where my favorite surf spot.
How close to home is that for you? How close is it to your salt?
It's 45 minutes from my house. It's where I go surf at every time there's waves, and my favorite restaurant's within a few miles of there. I love it there.
Secret fishing spots?
There's plenty of them. That creek right there is a little too shallow, but that creek leads right into a bunch of spots where there's lots of reds.
You know where to cast right there in that picture.
Yeah,
you?
If you can fly fish and you can cast way out, if you can pole your way up in there, it's shallow enough, you can catch plenty of fish. So.
Boy, you definitely got the Florida blood running through your veins.
Yeah.
Fishing, surfing, and cooking.
Definitely.
Which comes first for you?
Cooking. I mean, I ain't no good at eating. How about eating? You know,
they come hand in hand.
I'm great at fishing, and I'm so-so at catching, but I'm better at fishing than catching, and I'm way better at eating than
cooking. Notice on your website, you actually have a couple of recipes on there.
Yeah, I got to update it. Everybody's like, when are you going to put another recipe? It's been up there for like 5 years or 6 years.
Tell us what it is.
It's a blackberry cobbler recipe my grandmother gave me.
So straight from the old family. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just
run down there and write it down real quick, and then run and put it online. I gotta do it again. You know.
What about cooking? Tell us how deep are you into that?
I love it. You know, I love anything spicy, anything hot. And then my grandmother, I mean, she's a master. So is my mother. I mean, I guess everybody's grandmother, mother is. You know, that's everybody feels like their grandmother's the greatest. Cook or chef of all time, however you want to look at it. But, you know, I love it when somebody, they make it look so easy. And for me, I get in there and I struggle. But, you know, hey, you can never taste your own cooking, sort of like you can't hear your own voice. If you hear yourself talking on an answer machine, or not, you're like, that's me. You know, it's kind of like the same thing with food. Everybody else digs it, and you're like, I don't know, I didn't do this right, I didn't do that right, you know. But I try to absorb it. Try to be a sponge around my mom and my grandmother.
Restaurants. Got any suggestions?
Yes. Chowder Ted's. It's the greatest restaurant on earth. Now that I will go to the mat for. To me, it's right out there near that picture you're talking about. It's off Hexer Drive in Jacksonville, Florida. And it's a little tiny place. And my buddy Ted and Ted, Teresa, Amy, and sometimes they'll bring in a couple more people to help when they get really, really busy. But he just cooks every meal, you know, and I've been eating there for 12 years, and it's just our spot, you know.
You don't even have to look at the menu. Just step in and
menu, no. Yeah. And in fact, when I walk in, they have what I want to drink already on the table waiting. They're like that. You go in there 3 times, they know your name and they know what you do, and it's like a family affair.
Tell us about Surf Rider Foundation.
Some friends of mine, I just did some stuff with them down there at the Snook Foundation. Which is snook is a fish in South Florida, and Surf Rider, which they were fighting some dredging down there that was destroying everything. So, and they're always, you know, I've surfed my whole life, and they've always been at the forefront of people that, you know, fight to just try to keep the most extreme crazy things from happening. You know, it's like, well, wait a minute, you know, funnily enough, a friend of mine, he had a water bottle full of the sediment that they dredge, and then he had a water bottle filled with the sand, you know, with water in the sand and water in the sediment. And I shook up the sand, and it settled instantly. He was showing me what they were fighting about. And then he said, now shake up the bottle that they dredge this stuff up and put it on these reefs. And I shook it, and it stayed muddy. It was still muddy the next morning when I left. It was still muddy inside that bottle. It still hadn't settled. He's like, this is what's killing these reefs and the fish down here. So I'm like, hey, man, I'm all about it, dude, because I want to be able to fish. I want to be able to surf and hand it off to whoever's coming behind me. So let's, you know, I'm ready to go to war. If you're ready to go to war, I'm ready to go to war or whatever. But fortunately, it didn't turn into a war. It just turned into, you know, everybody agreeing to do the right thing.
You did some surfing around the planet. Been all over the place.
Yeah, you know, I was in Australia. I surfed down there for a while, and then in England.
No way.
Yeah. And then
make sense.
It doesn't. But they got great waves.
Kidding me.
A Cornwall, Devon out that way. And then all the way at the top, I never made it there. A friend of mine surfed Thurso at the very tip top of Scotland. Apparently it rocks there. And the water's not bitterly cold like it would be if you were in Newfoundland or Nova Scotia, the same latitude in the Atlantic. And then the west coast of Ireland, you know, Donegal all the way down the side there, the waves there, it's too gnarly. There are huge waves there, and it's crazy.
Original members of MOFRO, I understand, were British? Am I right?
No. I placed an ad in Melody Maker while I was over there to get the guys, and Nathan, a cat that played on Blackwater, he played keyboards and saxophone, he's from Australia. He's from Perth, but he lives in Sydney. Funnily enough, when we played the Byron Bay Blues Festival last year in right outside of Brisbane there in Australia, Nathan came up with the family and did all three or four shows with us and hung out, you know. But he's doing his music down there, and he's actually an attorney. He was studying to be an attorney while he was on the road with me. So, and with, you know, and Fabrice is playing with an African pop group in Europe, and he still lives in London, but he's from France. And, you know, and then there was like three or four different drummers that subbed in and did gigs in London. And then it's crazy. I mean, it's been so many people come and go, and, you know, but I've always felt good about leaving the door open with people, you know, and if they need to go do other things or go want to do their own thing or get a better gig or they're just sick of the road and they, you know, hey, you know, hey, we'll get together again and jam before, even if it's just we're in your town. Let's come on and let's do it, you know.
Tell us about all these horns that you got on Orange Blossoms.
Yeah, well, it's Art Edmiston, who I met years ago, slept on his floor. He's in a group called the Gambles Brothers. He plays tenor saxophone. And then a friend of mine hooked me up with Dennis Marion, who's playing trumpet on the record. And he's from right there in Jacksonville, and we had a lot of mutual friends, didn't even know it. And so we started playing together. And the guy Clay that played trombone, he played with a group called the Legendary JCs, really good friends of ours. And he came in and played trombone for us on the record. So,
what compelled you to bring in so much brass?
I just love it. You know, all of my favorite records had it. I wanted to do it on Blackwater and Lock Loose. I wanted strings and horns on all the records because all my favorite records have them. You know, the Tony Joe White records. Funnily enough, I saw a review a writer wrote. He was saying, like, yeah, Mofro's departing from its Tony Joe White roots and getting more into Memphis with horns and all this. Like, well, Tony Joe White had horns and strings all over his records, you know. In fact, he recorded a lot of his stuff was the Muscle Shoals rhythm section, you know, the same cats that were playing on all that Memphis stuff and all the Aretha Franklin records. So it's the same band, you know. And these are the people I love and the music that I love. So it moves me. I love to hear it.
Still got a bunch of vinyl?
Yes, I got vinyl at the house. I don't have a turntable worth of flip, but I got vinyl, and I'm always gonna buy a new turntable. But now that we got a vinyl record coming out,
tell us about it, man.
The label asked me to pick two songs off each album, you know, two of my favorite ones off each album, and then they wanted a bonus track, so I recorded Tupelo Honey by myself at the house, and put, so there's what, that's eight songs, is that four records, eight songs, yeah. I'm so in math. And in a bonus track, so there's nine tunes on the record, and it's a vinyl record, it's called The Choice Cuts. It'll be out November 3rd.
We're looking forward
to it. On heavy grain,
it.
They tell me it's the heavy grain vinyl, so that's what I'm all about. I love it.
Audiophiles love the vinyl, man.
It sounds, I don't know, there's just something about it. Maybe I'm just being nostalgic. But a great turntable, and especially a 7-inch single, and you know, the bass gets so fat on them, and it's so warm sounding. There's just something warm about it, you know.
You know, it's interesting. I've been talking to a lot of my friends about these remastered Beatles records, and everybody's comparing it to when they first opened up those vinyl records and put the needle on the record.
Oh, that's good.
It's definitely exactly what you're talking about. The bass comes out every single time. What were you listening? We're going to get into another song here, but I got to ask you real quick. What were you listening to growing up? Give us your top five.
Top five. I would say the first album I ever owned was Gold and Platinum by Lynyrd Skynyrd. My sister bought me
Figured
that.
As much.
You know, it's the first album that I didn't have to hide from my parents. You know, we weren't supposed to listen to that kind of secular, worldly music. Yeah. That's the way it was at home for every kid, pretty much.
That's one.
Lynyrd Skynyrd, Jerry Reed, just about any record. My dad had all his records.
I can see
and
it.
Jerry Reed was... probably he's a bigger influence on me than even Tony Joe White is, or as big as Tony Joe White. Tony Joe White has been more recent. Jerry Reed was throughout my childhood.
We'll count that as three.
Okay. Yeah, Tony Joe White was another one. Three. Did you want five?
Yeah, two.
Okay.
More.
Muddy Waters.
There you go.
A huge influence on me.
I can feel it.
Otis Redding is my biggest vocal influence. And so is Toots
really?
Hibbert. Toots and Otis Redding. Toots Hibbert is to me the greatest male soul singer alive, you know, and he's my living hero, and Otis, him and Otis share the top billing for my two favorite singers of all time.
Well, that's six, but we'll let you slide.
Yeah. I can keep going if you want. Donny Hathaway, Stevie Wonder, it can keep going all day. Stevie Wonder was another one.
Or something. I don't know.
Yep.
Are you debuting this song right here on the
I've played it once or twice here and there. But
it's debut for Lexington.
Definitely.
This is J.J. Gray. Here at WKY, what's it called, JJ?
It's called King Hummingbird.
hummingbird. There upon your perch, say the word, and I'll fall down on my knees and beg for the life I took from you, my King. Oh, this empty thing I've done. Everywhere I go, I feel you there. Everywhere I go, I feel you there. The deepest green and rainbow blue is delicate and light as morning dew. Your beating wings, they whisper a baby's breath. Filling me with wonder for all that is. But I took careful aim and I made no sound, for no reason I can think of now. Oh, this wicked thing I've done. Ooh, everywhere I go, I feel you. Everywhere I go, I feel you there. Everywhere I go, I feel you there. Everywhere I go, I feel you there. I feel you. I feel you. I feel you there. I feel you. I feel you.
Live music on WUKY. It's JJ Gray. Thanks so much for coming by, JJ.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Keep up the good work. Happy cooking, happy surfing, happy fishing.
Try to do it all.